5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
When you speak, Bill, you need to think first.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I don't think that's going to work, unfortunately.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Oh, of course you feel good. She's Monday. We're back.
Oh.
After a nice little break, Fat, we've had a nice little recalibration and we're back and it's a Monday. So we're talking to Purple. He'll come in and wander some footy by us. And then I see what stories are trending unusual and I reckon I know where you're going. I reckon I know where you're headed and I'm not surprised because none of it makes any sense to me either. Nope. And then at the end we get a little joke which will disappoint. But I tell you what we're about to get is a big, big rap. So before we do that, hello to you, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jim. Great to see you. G'day to you, Rabsy.
Oh, Tracy's had a shot at goal.
What the hell?
It's the water hopping falling off the hot dance.
That's exactly what it was.
That's what happened.
It's the horse float.
That's exactly what it was.
It's the horse float. Sick.
Oh, sick. No.
Seen that.
What's happened to Dick Tracy?
I haven't seen that for a
that
while.
That is unbelievable. He fell flat on his ass while taking a set shot.
It was a 2-metre divot.
No.
Very sick.
Oh, that is going into the highlight reel. Is... Did you see that, Fat?
I did.
How funny. Jeez, that made me laugh. Now, we got some big sport, so let's get stuck straight into it.
Well, we will, Jim. It's been a huge weekend of sport. There's a lot of audio here, so stand back because I can't believe it, but we must go with this. Happened this morning, and Italy wins the Euro.
Pressure on a 19-year-old. And now, Italy win. They're European champions for only the second time. 53 years after the first, a long wait is over for the Azzurri.
Oh, Azzurri. Now, yes. Bill, Italy win Euro, and the great godfather of rock, Lee Simon, has sent in the Italian national anthem for us to play for all of their adoring fans.
Oh, God.
There we are, Bill.
Here we go. I don't think it's it, Jim.
Oh, Bill, what are you saying?
They're not playing
Lethal
this in live.
Lethal would not send us the wrong thing.
I think he has. They're not playing hey, this Bill. In Ligon Street, Jim.
Bill, let me say, is there anything sweeter
than
getting the English plums tickled to the point that they get the final at Wembley? It gets to a penalty shootout.
Well, Jim.
Sucked in.
Well, after 2 minutes, Jim, they're 1-0 after 2. I tell you what, the pressure on those penalties
takers. Must be horrendous. Oh, 19-year-old kid. Harry Kane, by the way. Yeah, good. Mm. Oh, he's a freak, that bloke.
Yeah, he
but
is.
Anyway, well done to the two teams for getting into the final. Well, Bill, they won the World Cricket Cup after losing the final twice.
That's right.
So, I just find it hilarious,
well done.
To be honest.
Well done.
They all stayed up. My mates who are all to and from. Yes. So, anyway.
Well, Jimmy Neeshan said they should just award it to the team that had the most passes. The World Cup.
And guess what, Jim? They've stayed up. They've gone to work. They haven't had a shower.
No.
Haven't brushed their teeth.
Haven't done their teeth. Come on, soap dodgers. All right, so what else?
What about the girls over the weekend that represented Australia? And this one here, Ash Barty, you are a superstar girl. That's tennis.
Her dream comes true. Australia's Ash Barty is Wimbledon champion.
Good, Jim.
I know, superb. Unbelievable.
Humble. How humble
beautiful.
Is she?
Beautiful. Beautiful girl and handled it with the grace and class of her idol, Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley. Bill, what I loved is I'm watching our coverage, which we just heard the nice audio from, and then if you flick it over to the BBC, Ashley Barty. Ash Barty. Ashley Barty. But she is all class. And for a start, what brilliant tennis she played. But as you say, the way she then conducted herself afterwards is befitting of an Australian superstar.
I still remember Crash Craddock talking about her. I think she's from Ipswich. So she goes down to the local supermarket there, you know, the shopping centre. She sits on a chair there and people come up and they get photos and she just talks to everyone. She just walks around, mate. Like, she's just a normal person.
Well, she played in the WBBL. She gave up tennis for a couple of years.
Cricket.
She takes the Sharon with her and has a kick before the games. I love everything about her. She is magnificent.
Well done, Ash. Right, what else? Speaking of girls, what about this that happened at Caulfield on Saturday?
Deep speed, 200 metres to go. Two legs, is this the moment? Followed in second place by Pioneer River. And then a wall chasing. Deep speed, 50 metres to go in front. They're coming at deep speed. Is it going to hold? And it will for Jamie Carr. A century. A century of winners from the Carr of the Year.
Oh, well done, Jamie Carr. Yep. 100 winners in a season, Jim.
That's incredible.
Mate, and we're talking about Damien, Oliver, Craig Williams, all these super jockeys. They're all way behind her. She is a star. Well done to you, Jamie Carr.
Brilliant.
Oh, golf, your favourite, Jim. Golf. And what a big couple of weeks it's been for Australian golfers.
Yes.
But this overnight at the Scottish Open.
What a way to seal the deal as Minwoo Lee claims a second European Tour title and becomes a Rolex Series winner.
Bill, unbelievable. Unbelievable field, by the way. The number one player in the world, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, they're all because they're getting ready for the British Open next week. So for him to beat a field that good, he's only 22 from Perth. His sister is, of course, an unbelievable player on the tour, Minji Lee. This little bloke is a great mate of Mekong Steve. My nephew, Andy Brochure, they both play at Royal Fremantle and they get on really well because they're both height challenged. I love what he's done. What about my man, Wade Ormsby?
Orms!
He got a hole in one.
Jim, he got a hole in one. Now, I don't know how close you are, but you might get one of these bottles.
I hope so.
He won 204 bottles of whiskey.
That's unbelievable.
For making a hole in one on the 12th because it is 204 yards long.
How would you get them back to Adelaide? He is up in Stirling. How would you get them home?
You got to know someone in customs. That's what you got to know to get it through customs.
Well done to both of them, stars. Hey,
but also Lucas Herbert, who won the Irish. Week, yep. He won the Irish Open last week, so it's been a good little run for the Aussies.
Oh yeah, and he had a good tournament here too. So no, we're getting ready for the British Open, St George next week, and there'll be lots of Aussies in that field too.
And Cam Davis, he won one there too, Jim.
Yep. I know, they're brilliant. Australian golf flying at the minute. It's good.
Hey, can you believe it? I know we're going to talk to Damo very shortly, but there's a game of footy on tonight.
I know.
Yes. West Coast are taking on North.
Bill, West Coast coming off a 100-point loss at Geelong at home to Optus Stadium with good cattle back in against the 18th-ranked North Melbourne.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to watch.
You know, Goldie, just watch Goldie because he only needs four more hit-outs and he's had the most hit-outs ever in our game, Jim.
I'm not sure I'm watching.
Yeah, watch Goldie, for the first quarter.
It'll take me about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to establish the pattern of the game, and that'll tell me whether I keep the television on or off.
A few people are tipping them, Jim, tonight.
They cannot be. We are getting to a break because that's the end of the wrap.
I think so,
Comprehensive. Damo in next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, we're going to talk to him about some serious subjects here, Jim. So I want your best...
All right.
Best teeth in, please.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 17 is almost done. One more game tonight and Damo's in the studio.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We'll get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nice to see you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. And good to have you both back.
All right, now.
G'day, Purple.
I know.
Now, I know Bill's
I'll do it, Jim. Wanting
you
to go. So, well, before you get into what I know you've got something craft work that craft, you're going to go with here. Is it a concern for our game, Purple? As I look down the games played so far, I know there's one coming tonight, that only one team in the eight games has passed 100 points.
Yeah, that is. That is a big
only
concern.
Fremantle against Hawthorn have got the score to over 100 points in a game of footy.
And even on that occasion, Jim, that is the first time under Justin Longmuir's coaching that the Dockers have managed to reach the three figures. It is. So some people shoot it
15
back.
15 other teams have not got to 100.
But, Jim, I look at it, and you call as many games as anyone. The way the coaches set up to play the game of footy these days, they almost... The scoring becomes secondary in the first 15 minutes.
No doubt.
Would you agree with that?
100%.
So I don't know what rules you can implement to change that mindset. And as such, they can introduce 1,000 more rules and it won't change what you're just describing here.
All right. Anyway, Bill, go with what you've got.
Well, I know you like to start positive, Damo, but we're going to go upset Sundays. I sat there yesterday. I couldn't believe it. Can you believe the Suns beat the Giants?
No.
And then Sydney defeated the Dogs. And then Collingwood. Yes, yeah. Collingwood defeated Richmond, who I think are about 14th on the ladder now. They have dropped right down. What's going on, Damien?
It's incredible, isn't it? And in that order too, Bill. And look, I could see the Bulldogs losing to the Swans, yeah, but I wasn't too. Brave that's enough
not,
to pick them.
That's not yeah. as big a surprise for me as the other two.
True. Yeah, I wasn't brave enough to pick them, having said all that. But
because really good contested sides get the Bulldogs, and it's got to start being a concern for Luke Beveridge yeah. for me. When they come up against, you know, Richmond earlier in the year when they were up and about, Melbourne got hold of them. Now, Sydney, teams that are really hard at the footy in coalface, just get them.
They do, and teams that can use the ball with precision like the Swans did yesterday also expose them. And I'm still prepared, though, for what it's worth, guys, to coming out of this round 17 match of for the Bulldogs, that Aaron Norton out of that team, it just changed everything. It saw Jamara Ugle-Hagan play his first game, and he had one of those nilly games. He brought the ball to ground once, Bill, where Caleb Daniel, you know, capitalised and kicked a goal. He had another couple of little handballs that were okay, but ultimately it wasn't anything like what Aaron Norton would provide for that club in that position. So I reckon once they get him back, Bill, they straighten up, and as such, they can go into their own forward 50 with conviction they weren't able to yesterday.
Eight contested marks to 20, so that he would almost get half of that again himself. So, yeah, he's a massive out, and I'm with you. I don't think it's time for, you know, the warning bells to sound, but there is a certain style of team that gets them, I reckon, if you look at the way other teams play against the Dogs. Richmond and Collingwood.
Oh, that's the worry.
If you're a Collingwood fan, especially given it's been a pretty tough season for you, that's as much fun as you can have in an hour. That second hour when they came rattling home, you can't have a better fun time watching your team.
Well, even the last 18 minutes, wasn't it, when they kicked 7-1 in that last quarter, it was extraordinary to watch. And hey, they've done it a couple of times in the two games that Robert Harvey's been caretaker coach, but fallen short. This was different. They not just got over the line, but powered to the line. Yeah. And we had a return to form of and I know we're talking positive here for Collingwood, but we might just look on the negatives given Bill wanted me to head down the negative path. The Tigers situation, that they finished round 17 in 12th position, having lost four in a row. You go back to the game before the bye, round 13 it was, Jim, over there in Perth. They were 4 goals up against West Coast with 8.5 minutes to play. Had the next 4 goals kicked against them and have not won a game of footy since, inclusive of a 2-goal match performance against St Kilda in one of those four losses in a row. I still think they could easily beat Brisbane Lions next Friday night and breathe life back into their season. But having said that, you just can't see them going near the premiership again.
Well, injury is starting to rack up against them too, and that's
They got Jack Revolt's 300th game too this week.
You'd think that would get them back up too, wouldn't you?
You'd hope, wouldn't you?
And kicked his 700th. So,
yeah, exactly.
It'd been an incredible player. While we're on, well, not negatives, but you said upset Sunday, but Saturday there was a bit of that too. St Kilda did a proper number on Brisbane, didn't they?
They did. They did. And similarly to what we just discussed there with the Bulldogs, once one of the big key forwards goes down, as happened for the Lions with Hipwood just before quarter time, and it just changed their structure. And they've been such a structure-based team. And Chris Fagan, I think, Jim, has wonderfully used Joe Danaher to this point of this season in allowing him to take some rucking work and allowing him to almost play off half-back, running forward at times. Now, I know he's been closer to goal in that structure sense, but he's been allowed to roam really a high. I think they have to make a change now on the back of this structural issue with Hipwood going down. And you factor that in, Bill, obviously with what happened preseason-wise with Cam Rayner, who they were expecting for him to hit the big heights this year. So they've now got two key players out of that forward line. At some stage, it takes a toll, doesn't it? And some stage, it takes a premiership-altering toll. I hope it's not that case for Brisbane Lions right now. But you're right, Jim. St Kilda, when we get to the positives, they deserve a lot of credit.
Well, we'll find out a bit Friday night. Yes, Fat?
Just on Joe Danaher, he's got to stop playing for free kicks and diving. He did it again on the weekend.
It's not a good look, Bill. I agree.
He's got to get that out of his game because we all love Joe Danaher, and he's good enough to mark it on his own. He's got to get that out of his game.
He's exposed badly, wasn't he, on one of those attempted free kick routes he tried to pull?
I agree. That's a very bad look. Now, I'm going to ask you about these four losers, losing teams. I don't the word losers, not accurate. They're losing teams. Who was worse? Carlton? Hawthorne? Adelaide? Or Port Adelaide? Now, I know the score. Don't worry about the scoreboard. Just in the context of what they should be presenting with, which of those four
I'm
is the
probably going to, given you give me the only four options here, I'm probably going to go with Adelaide, who I think started the year without expectation, went okay in the first five rounds, have fallen away badly. And right now, I think there's shades of 2020 again, early stages for them. So of those four, I'd be going the Crows.
For me, Fat, because I have not much expectation of either Adelaide or Hawthorn, it's heads bobbing Port Adelaide or Carlton. I thought they were both very, very ordinary. Port Adelaide at home, massive game to really prove themselves against a top eight side, which they've been unable to do. I thought they were beaten badly in that game.
I'm a bit like what you just said there about expectation. I'm conditioned for that to happen with Port Adelaide now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a look at what they've done this year, Jim. They just cannot beat a team around them on the ladder.
So, they would have known that. Thursday night lights, everyone watching, they would home crowd, big crowd, they would have gone, right, it's time for us to step up and stand up against a top four side.
And they lost again to a top four side or a top eight side. They cannot win. I tell you what, Melbourne, they were tough. They were good. They were very good, but they were very disappointing. Yeah.
We'll get to them on the negatives.
And I did, I did have a look at Carlton on the weekend. Yeah. I saw that game.
Come on, Bill.
Early on, 1-5 at quarter time. There were three experienced players that missed easy goals. They were poor, mate. Geelong weren't that good.
Mm.
And Carlton were worse. They were terrible.
Well, they ended up with 5-14 as their total match score. But three of those goals came in the last 7 or 8 minutes when Walsh kicked two of them. And they were great goals, but they weren't the sort of goals that he'd be trying to kick if the game was alive.
Yeah, no, the game was dead. Yeah. It was done by then. Yeah. No, so very disappointing, Carlton, for me.
No, they were. And Hawthorn too, the first hit out for that club with the new arrangement, Alistair Clarkson, now knowing that he's not going to be there at the very least beyond 2022 and what happens between now and then, no one would claim to know 100% right now. But yeah, they weren't at all good and allowed Justin Longmuir to rack up the first century of score for himself as a coach of the Dockers.
They've got a midfield problem that they've got to address badly, Hawthorn. They get smashed around the footy and I just think it's personnel. I mean, Warple and Mitchell are really good players. I don't know where Jago O'Meara is at, whether his body's not allowing him to do what he should be doing. But outside, they don't bat very deep, Bill, at all. No. And they got belted in there.
Yeah, it was a shocking game, actually. There was a couple of hard games to watch, and that was one of them especially. But, yeah, Freo were good. But I don't know where the Hawks are at. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. What happens there? Clarko, he wants to keep winning and trying to win. And then Sam Mitchell will want to bring in some kids, won't he, Damo? It's going to be
interesting.
And
they've done that with the drafting and then the playing of Newcomb. So I suppose there's an element of that already taking place.
And Bramble and a few of the other kids that they're throwing.
But where do you go? Where do they head now, Hawthorn?
Well, where did you have them at the start of the year, Bill?
No, and certainly bottom four.
Yeah, and that's where they're going to finish, isn't it? Yeah. So,
but with Clarko and Mitchell Lair,
yep,
that's going to be interesting. They're both going to want different
and now
policies.
Chunkwath Jatha has gone down with a PCL, which again, we haven't yet got official diagnosis on, but it could well be season ending and hopefully no more than that.
All right, let's get positive after this, Fat. You've taken us down negative street, old creamy.
Good.
And now we need to get positive.
It's a rush hour. Triple M.
This is Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw, Binns Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Damien Barrett is in the studio talking positives of round 17 so far.
Come on, Damo. About time you were positive.
I'd like to start positively, Bill, on Mondays, but you took us down the downer path. And now I'm going to try and bring it up because we've seen a genuine premiership tilt emerging now, and it's real, Jim. Ooh. And Bill,
the Swans.
We touched on before.
Genuine premiership, you think?
Jim, they have. Their record against the teams around them goes like this. They have beaten Brisbane Lions, Western Bulldogs, and Geelong. They have lost to Melbourne by 9 points. They have lost to Port Adelaide by 10 points. And the team immediately below them as we speak, West Coast, they have beaten by 92.
Yes.
So that is as good a form line against teams that are next to them on the ladder and above them and below them as any of the top six teams. And I'm a buyer. I was a buyer early on. They had that little lull, but every club has at least one lull, maybe even two, sometimes three in a season, even premiership winning teams. And I saw
enough.
You think
they're premiership winning?
I think their premiership winning potential.
I'm with him.
Yeah.
I'm with him.
I love what they're doing. I'm not ready to see him winning a flag.
Where do you see them falling short at this stage?
I see them finishing fifth, sixth on the ladder. I reckon if they win a final, what Horse has done with this young group has been superb.
Mm.
So they're getting ticks everywhere for me. If they can get into the top four and drag a home final, that will be huge.
They're more trustworthy than the Port Adelaide team who you just potted a moment ago. So I'm putting them into the top four in that regard. I reckon they're going to get that spot.
I hope they do because I love what they're doing.
I'm with you, Damo. I reckon they can too, because they're a tough side. They can win finals. They've got a side that'll win finals. But also the hub's been great for them down here, hasn't it?
It has really, to this point, yeah.
They've really embraced it. They'll probably be here for the rest of the year, to be honest. So they've really embraced it. They're playing great for them. I like them.
I hope that whatever happens with regards to allowances officially through the health authorities and the governments with the potential for families to come in to be with them, that's yet to be determined officially, Bill, and there's pitches being made everywhere on that front. We haven't, as we speak, got resolution on that, but I just hope they can allow families in for their sake alongside the Giants, who are also in the same situation, and for that to take place reasonably seamlessly, because they will have to quarantine for the 14 days, you'd think. St Kilda deserves massive plaudits. We criticise them heavily, and I've got no drum with what we all said, myself included, about them, because they entered the bye in a world of hurt, didn't they, Bill, at the scoreline of 5-8. And then you had that situation where they didn't handle the public scrutiny about them as a club over two players choosing family over football. But they've emerged with an amazing form line. Richmond, who they kept to just 2 goals. Collingwood, who they just played and outplayed for the entire game. And then what they did against Brisbane on the weekend just gone. To go to 8-8 and to give themselves a chance and to be back into that conversation that they expected to be from round one this year, but weren't until basically this weekend just gone.
Did they have a review there?
It's been a rolling review, Bill, for what it's worth. They haven't shied away from that. It's just been an ongoing, continual, let's have a look what we're doing. They have admitted, and Brett Ratton post-match on the weekend admitted to there being some serious, tough conversations had in that bye period. And look, they've worked to this point, haven't they? It's no coincidence, though, that Rowan Marshall, strange enough, is fit again and they're firing. And he and Ryder, that combination is as good as any going around in that double whammy rack.
So we do the stuff at the start of the year. Everyone makes predictions, and how the hell do you know it's bloody February or March or whatever it is.
Can't even get the games right on a Sunday in round 17.
No, exactly. But I was asked who I thought the riser would be, Bill, who would end up in the eight. I said Fremantle. Everyone said, you're a clown. You got no idea. Stick to cricket. I'm telling you, Damo, I like what they are doing. I like what they're building.
And you have been saying that for a while. And now they're scoring for the first time, kicking the 100 Tracy. Points.
Dick. Have you had a look at Dick Tracy?
Yeah.
Big boy, Bill. Big boy. Charges hard at the footy.
Josh Tracy, for those who don't know him, Bill.
And what's his first name?
Josh.
Josh Tracy. Josh, and it's T-R-E-A-C-Y. It's a weird-ass Tracy, but I call him Dick Tracy.
He's from Kahuna, Jim, which is a little country town in Victoria there. Dairy farmers everywhere. But he's a big boy, and he presents. He's all right.
Bill,
he's good.
Yeah.
And when Rory Lobb actually plucks a couple like that, they are dangerous.
If you are a halfback flanker in front of Dick Tracy, and he's coming out hard, you don't want to be any.
No.
He's one of those big boys, Bill, with the sharp elbows and knees.
And hard knees.
Anyway, I'm not saying they're going to win the flag. I would love to see them play a final, but I just reckon Justin Longmuir and what they're doing is good, as is Essendon.
As is Essendon, and got the win against Adelaide, which I think probably most people expected, but the manner in which it came was brutal from Adelaide perspective. And they've done really well. They've had their lulls already. Their backline is emerging, the way I see 2021 unfold, has been crucial to what they're about. We saw what happened last year with Ridley, Jim.
Yep.
We've seen Mason Redmond now come in and be almost as good as him. James Stewart has always shown ability, but he's been in the system a very long time, and he's finally, I think, got some continuity to his game in a way that makes you think, gee, he's going to be really good still.
Laverty.
Is another one. Yep. Yeah. Hind, who they brought in. Francis, who's away at the moment, but not far away from returning again with personal reasons. It just looks really stable.
Agreed.
And you've still got Hurley, who we don't know now whether he comes back this year. Possibly not. But even if he doesn't, he's going to be right to go, you'd think, next year as well. So there's a lot to like about that important part of the ground for that club.
And Melbourne, Fat, you touched on it before. Yeah. I thought that was the best performance of the round from a team, you know, really stamping their credentials. Mm. They were superb.
It was, because they'd had a relatively rough patch. They lost to Adelaide, believe it or not, in round 10. Round 13, they lost to Collingwood, which was Nathan Buckley's last game.
Yep.
And then only last week against GWS in round 16, Bill, they lost by 9 points as well. But to then come out and just basically play with Port Adelaide the way they did. They finished the round on top of the ladder, and they deserve to be.
And Bill, the bit I loved was Oliver was unbelievable in the first half, and then they put a stop to him, and yet Melbourne was still able to gain great momentum in that third quarter with their star on baller held, if you like. So that's a great sign too. They don't actually.
Well, one of their star on ballers held.
Well, no, the other
bloke was unbelievable.
But he's a freak show. That bloke. He might be my favourite footballer to watch in the comp.
Yeah,
because he just does freakish stuff. And, you know, we love him. He's a rush hour man, Bill.
Yeah, the track, he was unbelievable. Kicking goals also.
Yes.
He's added that to his game, hadn't he? Kicked some really good goals. Finals-like game, and he just stood up. He was outstanding. Well done to Melbourne. They were tough. They were hard. What about Stewie Jew and the Suns?
How good
were they? They deserve a reference quickly, don't they? Two in a row now for what they did. And had to kick the last two goals in the final 3.5 minutes against GWS and that windswept Ballarat, your favourite venue, Jim.
Come on.
Only second to the Geelong venue, isn't it, in your eyes? But and they'll be back there again next week with the GWS team playing the Sydney Swans, that we believe that's being speculated upon and talked about between the two clubs right now.
Tuke Miller, outstanding again. Yep. As he had a season. He's all Australian, isn't he?
I would think so, Bill. It was as much the week before what he did in that win against the Flow. I felt that was the franking performance for him, and he continued again on the weekend.
Bloody oaf he did, no doubt about that. What do you got, Jim?
Well, I'm working on something here because I think we need to celebrate, Bill. We've been celebrating the Italian performance all day, and we'll do it again at the end of the footy. Here we go.
Oh, no, Jim, no.
Jim. Bill, we're celebrating.
How do they do it? Oh, that's the Russian.
Well, why are you playing this?
Because we're celebrating Italy winning Euro 21.
But why are you playing that music, Jim?
What do you mean? Because it's the Italian when they go to weddings, they play this. Zumba.
Oh, I love it. Well done, Damo. Great seeing you.
Well done, Damo.
To Rush Hour with JB and Bill on Triple M.
You're going to get in trouble for that, Jim.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
My partner Lisa is in the car a lot at this time of night. She says, whenever that comes on, and what are we doing? She reckons she nearly drives off the road.
She actually
knows you, Bill, so that's how bad that is.
Very fond of Anthony.
I don't think at all, actually. Not at all, actually.
Did she get nice and touchy and feely?
Now,
Jim, last night,
yes.
I watched 60 Minutes last night because of one reason. The whale man.
Oh, no.
The whale man who got swallowed by a humpback whale, Jim. He was on 60 Minutes. Carl Stefanovic, he interviewed him. Stefanovic.
Oh, no.
He interviewed him,
Jim. One more go. Carl?
Steph.
Carl Steph.
Stefanovic.
That's better.
He interviewed him last night, Jim. He's a humble fisherman. His name is Michael Packard. He's from Cape Cod.
Yes.
And have a listen to a little clip from 60 Minutes.
You know, there are people out there who would say, this is just all made up, this story.
Come and meet me. Shake my hand.
See, that'll do it. That'll do it,
Bill.
Jim. Come and meet me, Jake. Now, Jim, he was diving for lobsters. He went down and he said he just got hit by something like a freight train. Next minute, he knew he was in the mouth of a whale, Jim, a humpback whale. In the mouth, don't say anything, Jim, because I know you don't believe this. This is true. I like this bloke. And then he was in there for 1 minute in his mouth.
1 minute.
And 1 minute. Oh. He had the tank. He had the tank with him still.
Yeah, right.
Then he thought the whale was going to deep dive, but he went up to the ocean. What do you call up the top there?
Surface.
And the whale didn't like having him in his mouth. He shook him around and then threw him out, Jim.
Out of the spout, you reckon?
No, not out of the spout.
I thought, no.
He'd come out of his mouth again. But he shook him around and threw him away. And then his mate on the boat come and got him and saved him.
Bill.
That is true.
If this happened, I'm Bill Gates. there's holes everywhere through this, Bill. Firstly, if you're diving for lobster, the water's not that deep.
No.
So if he's going to deep
But he's at the bottom. He's at the bottom of the ocean because he's trying. He grabs the lobsters with his hands.
Does he? So he can't be that deep.
Well, it's deep enough for a whale to get in there. A humpback, a humpy. Yeah. What else he got? Because I believe this man.
Do
now.
You
I
believe him?
Believe him. Yeah, I believe Michael.
So the fact that not a person saw it happen.
No, he's made up.
No,
on
no,
the
he didn't see it. His mate didn't see it. His mates arrived very late in the story.
Actually, his mate didn't see it, but he heard him. He heard him splash. He heard him splash. When the whale threw him out of his mouth, he heard him splash over there, so he went over and fished him out.
Bill, yeah.
I like this bloke.
The fact that you thought he'd come out of the spout is as believable as anything he said.
Anyway, I was on 60 Minutes, so it must be true. So well done to you, Michael, and that is a true story.
All right.
Look it up, The Whale Man.
Well, next, Bill, we've got your joke, of course. But before we get to that, I've had lots of complaints.
Oh, what about?
Well, apparently what Lee Simon sent us isn't correct. But, Bill, the godfather of rock sends it into us.
But
we
play it.
He's a legend. But lots of fans of the Italian soccer team.
Yes.
Azzurri have been in contact saying you've got it wrong. That's the wrong music. That's actually Greek. So, next, we're going to put it to rest.
Right.
That?
You better get a ride.
Come on. And a joke to wrap up the show. JB and Bill, Triple M's Rush Hour.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Don't forget, you can listen anytime, anywhere on the Listener app.
Oh, hey!
There we go.
Now, I've had lots of feedback. Yes.
Clean this up, Jim, can you?
Well, this is the only one I can read out. Bill, you clown. That music's Greek, not Italian. From Giuseppe in Ligon.
Giuseppe
sent that one in.
Jim, so, Giuseppe
so, Bill,
in Ligon.
It's not Italian. That's why the Godfather of Rock sent it in, of course, lethal Lee Simon, because he's Greek. So anyway, we're not doing that. But so here we go. We're going to celebrate the Italian win in the Euro. Hit it, Rabs.
Ingers be
Bill. Rabs, that's Swedish.
Swedish.
So that was not that one. That's Swedish.
Hey, by the way, I've got nothing to do with this today. I'm away. I'm
of course
in
you are. Of course you are. You're hitting the buttons down there. I'll tell you what it isn't before we get to. It isn't this one. We ain't hearing that one.
No, we're not.
Oh, I tell you what. And Bill.
Wake me up.
There we go.
Oh, you
ain't hearing that.
This is
Bill.
Yes.
And I tell you why we're comfortable going with all this stuff.
Why are we doing this?
Because, Bill, every time England beat us in anything, they pile into us from every direction. So we're not holding back when it comes to the to and froms. But
we're only having a bit of fun. We must say that to our Italian friends.
No, of course.
They'll be sitting there listening. They'll be fuming with you and Radji.
Italian friends. So to honour the win in the Euro for the Italian team, here we go with a proper anthem.
What's the matter, you?
Hey, it's not so bad.
Shut up in your face.
Hey.
Oh, see? That's something for all of our magnificent Italian fans as they celebrate. Ligon Street would have been electric. And it will be tonight. Stay out of there, Bill.
Oh, no, I'm not going. I'll go down Packingdon Street.
Yeah, of course you will.
That's me. That's
pretty much where you are now.
Yeah.
All right, so, Bill. A joke to finish her. Oh, she's been a packed Monday.
Well, who we got tomorrow?
Oh, we're Matty Tamua, of course. So Wallaby's playing tomorrow night against France at Amy Park.
So he's a Wallaby.
He's
of course,
captain of the Rebels.
Exactly. So Tamua on tomorrow.
Yes. And maybe Rory Sloane. We're trying to grab Rosa too if we can. That'd be
come
good.
On, Rosa.
Matty's on board for us. Okay, so Bill, humour.
In the day with the laugh, this is Billy's joke.
My second name, Jimmy. Humour.
No, I know. So, the joke.
Second name's Bill.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Rebs.
Anthony William Humour Brownless.
Yeah. So, Anthony where are we William, going with it today?
That's his third name.
Anthony William Humour Bins Brownless. Right. Now, we've been talking about this bloke a bit today, Jim.
Who?
He's a big forward at the Fremantle Footy Club. He slipped over. We all had a laugh about that. And we're calling him Dick Tracy,
yeah,
of course.
Josh Tracy, but he goes by the nickname of Dick Tracy after the great cartoon character.
That's it. So this is a little joke about Dick Tracy, okay?
Right.
I went up to a lady the other day, Jim, and I said, "Do you like Dick Tracy?" She said, "Yes, I do. And my name's Sharon."
Oh! Oh, no. Oh, no.
Jim.
No. Look at Anthony Williams. Look at this
Bins.
Idiot. Look
Hugh
at old
Brownless.
Bins Brownless. Old September Brownless.
Oh, he's back. Oh. He's back.
I reckon that's maybe the fourth time he's told that one. But relevant to what we were discussing today.
Relevant.
So, relevant.
Relevancy.
Come on.
Well, see you in the studio tomorrow. Well done, Rap.
Oh, what a pity.
Never call us again. Not on your line.